The Torah niknet beisurim, all different kind of suffering. To begin to learn Torah for Baal Tshuva, that's even harder because he doesn't have girsa de ankuta. When you grow up into a language, that's your language, that's it, that's your accent, it's very easy, you don't have to think. I live in New York more years than I actually lived in Israel. But I speak Hebrew 100 times better than English. I still think in Hebrew. I think in Hebrew, and as I think in Hebrew, I have to translate to English after 26 years that I live in New York. It's still the same. It's hard to change habits, especially when you grow up with it. So someone who never learned Torah, he went to public school in America, grew up, you know, without religion, and then one day he gets into the Torah, he has the most precious years as a child that is missing. So to begin with, any success of a Baal Tshuva, it's a miracle against all odds, against the law of nature. The Gemara says the Tshuva was created before the world was created. Why? If you try to analyze it in human logic, and in the laws of nature, the laws of the creation, is simply impossible. There's no way to understand the concept of tshuva, that a person did such horrible crimes against the creator of the world for 20, 30, 40 years, and all of a sudden in weeks, he is making a sharp turn. As the Rambam said yesterday, was despicable. He was wicked. He had all the negative things about him, and today, he's loved, he's welcome, he's precious. A list of compliments, yesterday and today. Yesh adam kone olamo berega achat. But still, the difficulty is there. The Torah niknet b'isurim. And especially when a person learns in a place that now is more and more sakana here, with what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, everyday attacks, and people live with fear, and you walk in the street, you worry what can happen every second. It's stressed. It's also Yisurim. But when the Gemara spoke about the Torah is niknet b'Yisurim, it didn't mean this kind of Yisurim. This kind of Yisurim every Jew has for the last 3,300 years since we became a nation, and even before. The Yisurim of a Jew, just to be a Jew, antisemitism exists from the time of Shem until today. It exists everywhere in the world, regardless of the condition of the Jews. When they rich, when they poor, when they smart, when they're not so smart, when they have jobs, they don't have jobs. It doesn't matter, religious, not religious. It's a mental disease that exists in the world against all Jews, regardless if they learn Torah or not. But when you become a chacham, someone who learns Torah, then there is a special, different kind of antisemitism. Yeah, why? Even from among the nation, there are people who fight against the Torah. Not only the strangers, the nations, the Gentiles. It's people from our own nation that fights against the Torah. So many wars against the Torah. All the people who ever fought against the Torah vanished from the face of the earth. The biggest empires, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, all kinds of different countries and places that they chase the Torah, they burn the Torah, they chase the learner of the Torah, they all got wiped out, and we are still here after so many struggles and suffering. The Torah is growing, there's more learners now, more than the history of the Jewish nation. They say about 160,000 Jews sit and learn full day Torah in the world, but that's the official statistic. There are many yeshivot are not even reported. They're not in a system. So it could be there's more than 200,000 people that sit and learn. This is outstanding. It's an achievement that I don't think ever in a history we ever reached such thing. Plus today it's the greatest generations for speakers like me and others. It's the greatest generation in history for speakers. Because in the time of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right, if we learn a billion years, we won't get to his level. A billion years, we won't get to his level. We cannot be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or Rabbi Akiva. We can dream to be, and maybe one day we'll be in a nice level compared to our generation, but we won't be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and we will not be Rabbi Akiva, and all the other Tanaim and Amoraim, and we won't be the Rambam, and we won't be the Ramchal, and we won't be the Gaon Mivilna. We are realistic, we know our limitation, especially in this world. But the interesting thing is that all these great names that I mentioned, when they finally gave a Shi'ur Torah, how many listeners they had? How many listeners were sitting in the shiur of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? Only few. Very few. How do I know? How do I know? Where does it say how many Talmidim Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had in his class when he spoke? There was no YouTube. There's no recordings. There's no CDs. No pages in the internet and millions of people go and listen. They didn't have all this. There were no transportation. People couldn't come from far away. So it was only local. How many people he had in his class? Maximum 50. How do I know? Hashem gave us bina, wisdom, to know one thing from another. If in the middle of his shiur, he said someone that ate garlic, please step out, that means it was a close class, small. Because if it were a big place like this, Esha Torah here, if somebody ate garlic in the end there, obviously he wouldn't bother the speaker. It had to be a small room. So in his class, how big it was? 40, 30 people, and that's it. And they lived their entire life teaching Torah to 20, 30, 50 people per day, most likely the same people. So after 40, 50 years of their life, maybe they saw 1,000 faces of Talmidim. That's it. We do it in a minute, in a second. It's outstanding what's happening today in the world. But Hashem gave this generation a tool. Everything is served on a gold platter. Just come and grab. The Torah say, the Torah munachad bekeren zavit. The Torah is lefted, neglected, in a corner. Begging, please come and grab me. Every day there's an echo, an announcement. In the spiritual world, bat kol yotzet v'omeret, oy labriot mi'elbona shel Torah, oy to the Jewish people for insulting my Torah. How do you insult the Torah? I'm sure none of the secular people have any intention purposely to come to insult the Torah. They're just not interested. But to come and actually insult the Torah, that's the last thing on their mind. They have other things to worry about. They're not interested to keep. Live and let live, but to come and insult the Torah, what do I care about it? It's not my business, b'chlal. So why the announcement is still coming every day? Oy labriot me'elbona shel Torah. Let me read to you something a little bit shocking, that you maybe get the point what it means. The Gemara, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin said in his speech, Chayav kol adam lihitbonen. Every person has to pay attention carefully. Ulai hu me'elu she'en lahem chelek la'olam haba. That God forbid, he is one of the people that is mentioned in the list of people that God forbid, million times God forbid, lost their share to the world to come. Kedivrei ha-Mishnah b'Sanhedrin Dalet. It's the words of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. In the end of the Mishnah, it's written, Ve'elu she'en lahem chelek la'olam haba, and one of them is an apikores. A lot of ink was spilled over the interpretation of this word in apikores. It's a Greek word of someone that was anti-divine philosophy. Some kind of an atheist back in the time. The Gemara said that Apikores has different opinions, but one of the main opinions, an Apikores is someone that can sit and learn Torah and is not learning Torah. Someone that has the ability to learn Torah, his brain is functioning, he has what to eat, but he replaced the Torah with desires to this fake world. He loves this world, he loves business, colleges, vacations, money, mansions, etc. And he has no time for Hashem and his Torah. And someone that can be busy with learning Torah and doesn't do it, שנאמר, יקרת, תיקרת הנפש ההיא לעולם, לעולם הבא, תיקרת לעולם הזה, תיקרת לעולם הבא, and all the people in his class. Remember, he was a student of the Gaon Mivilna, the Vilna Gaon. So we're talking about 200 years. Everyone in a shul, it was a big shul, everyone was crying so loud, and they just couldn't stop for an hour and a half. Everyone was crying in a shul. And he just couldn't finish his drasha, and he went down and sat down, and the drasha was finished. Because the Yirat Shamayim that people had, when they finally realized that maybe I am an apikores that the Gemara speaks about, they didn't have rest. They just sat and cried. Maybe I'm the one. I want to go, I want to walk, I want to do this, I want to do that. I have a lot of plans, but Hashem gave me all the tools to sit in a holy place, one step from Beit HaMikdash, and to sit and learn Torah, and I come and go like a picnic. 1 month in, 2 months out, 3 months in, 2 months out. It's not a college. College, you do whatever you want. One semester you take, one semester you go and rest. When a person comes to learn Torah, the main decision in his life has to be, I came to be a servant of Hashem. I came here to be a servant of Hashem, nothing else. I'm going to be sitting in Ohala Shel Torah, Memit et Atzmi al Torah. I'm going to give my life for the Torah. Kol HaMkabel al Atzmo Ol Torah, Ma'avirim Mimeno Ol Derech Eretz. Everyone that say to Hashem, I'm going to accept your Torah as heavy as it's going to be on my shoulders. 100%, it becomes the main thing of my life. Every other things that you have in your life will be done for you. Guarantee 100%. Kol HaMkabel al Atzmo Ol Torah. Seriously. Not 1 hour is learning Steiging and 2 hours is on the internet. 100% is putting his life into the Torah. Everything else will be done for you. We had a student, Monsi, an Israeli Baal Tshuva. He was a personal trainer in Manhattan of all the famous people from this world. And one day started to listen to lectures and became a Baal Tshuva. The next step, we brought him to the yeshiva. And once he discovered the light of the Gemara, he was so serious in his learning, mamash became a real faithful servant of the Torah of Hashem. Non-stop he was learning. Lunchtime, 2 minutes. 2 minutes his meal was. Instead of 2 hours, 2 minutes. He did not waste these 2 hours. Was sitting, learning, before Shachris, after Shachris, breakfast. 2 minutes a day. Breakfast, 2 minutes lunch, 2 minutes dinner, that's it. And learning non-stop. And Shabbos, same thing. Seriously. And he had a little Toyota. Very old. In America, if you want to get it for free, it's already a punishment to get such a car. If you leave it on the road and you say to someone, take it as a gift, you say, pay me for the towing. That's the kind of car we're talking. In Israel, even a piece of metal has a value. Baruch Hashem, piece of metal, it fell. But in America, a little tiny car like this, so all, maybe worth $100, maybe. And he's driving it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I'm thinking to myself, this is a clear miracle. This car is driving Brooklyn, Monsi for Shabbat, Queens, Monsi, every day for yeshiva and come back. I said to him once, how is the car? I said, Baruch Hashem. One day he decided to make Aliyah. So who did he sell it? To another Avrech. But there's a big difference between him and the other one. So the other one is in and out, you know, come one day, half a day, you know, half a picnic. So I say to myself, I wonder how long it will take until this car will break. The next day, I come to the yeshiva, I see his hood is open, steams all over from the radiator. I say to him, Yitzchak, Makara. I just bought this car yesterday, I already have problems. I said to him, let me explain to you something. This car was supposed to die already 3 years ago. Do you know the story of Rabbi Nachum Ishgamzu? The house was supposed to collapse already years before. But Hashem said to the house, don't dare to move. As soon as they took his bed out, everything collapsed. Someone else would move in, it would collapse on his head. The zchut of Rabbi Nachum Ishgamzu made the house standing. The zchut of this guy Eliyahu was that the car will drive and he won't have to waste 1 hour by the mechanic because he gave his life for the Torah. Melechet tzadikim naset bidei acherim. Even to the motor vehicle, to renew his license, he didn't have to go. I asked him, how did you do a license without going there? He said to me, I send it with someone. I say it's unheard of that they agree to renew a license by with someone else. It never happened in the history of America. He said to him, it happened to me. He didn't have to go to the motor vehicle to waste 4 hours over there. Why? When you show Hashem, you love the Torah, and to love Hashem means to love His Torah. Where is the proof? Hashem said to the Jewish nation, if you are tired of me, you don't want me, you don't want me in your life. Alevai ve'oti azvu ve'torati shamaru. You know what? Leave me, it's okay. But please, I'm begging you, you leave me, it's one thing. Don't ever leave my Torah. Continue to learn. Why? Shema or sheba machzirem lamutav. It's one way or the other, the Torah will always push you back to me. Why? The light of the Torah revived the neshama, the soul. The soul can be dead 30, 40 years in the lifestyle of today. 1 or 2 hours of Torah, the neshama comes back to life. A person can go his entire life, his neshama is 100% dead. Where does it say in the Torah that someone that is disconnected from Hashem is considered 100% dead? Where does it say it? Few places. In the Torah it says, if you're going to listen to me and follow my laws and keep it, leman tichyu, that you should live. And before I was learning and keeping mitzvot, I wasn't alive. I was alive. So from here we see that Hashem say, you want to be alive? If you keep my laws and follow my ways, then you're going to live. Meaning, if not, chas v'shalom, you're not considered alive. Even if you're walking and talking and dancing and making money, it's not life. Where else does it say? Ve'ashivu uchiyu, return, do tshuva, that you should live. The prophet Yechezkel, one of the main prophets we had, that he was the only one who actually revived thousands of people from the graves. After 700 years, they were dead. Chazon ha'atzamot ha'yevashot, Hashem took him to the valley, and he said, Ben Adam, look at all these bodies, all these skeletons, no bodies, just bones. Broken to pieces, dry, 700 years in a desert. You put a skeleton in a desert, you come after 50 years, it's all crushed to powder. That's it. The sun destroyed it. So they are mamash destroyed. He asked him, Atichyena atzamot ha'ele, do you think these bones can come back to life? What was the answer of the prophet? If Hashem would ask me, or would ask any one of you here, do you think these bones can come back to life? Out of embarrassment, we would say, of course, Hashem, what's the question? Ma? The question is, it's not even a question. Of course they can come back. Anything you want can happen. But the prophet didn't say, of course. What did he say? You know. Meaning, I'm not sure. How can it be such thing? Huh? If you come to Muhammad here, over here, ups, you know, whatever. You say, Muhammad, see these bones over here? Yeah. He said, do you think these bones can come back to life? He said, if Allah wants, of course. So Muhammad knows what the Prophet didn't know. How can it be? The answer is, of course, the Prophet knew much, much deeper than us. The Prophet knew that in Tchiyat HaMetim, who is going to come back to life? The wicked people is coming back to life? No. It says clearly, Verabim Yeshenei Afar Yakitsu. Many of the deceased people will rise back to life. Many Chazal say, but not all. someone that was a tzaddik, שומר שבת, שומר מצוות, giving his life for the Torah, honesty, integrity, tefillah, devotion, of course they come back to life. That's the purpose, no? But someone which did the opposite of all of that is not coming back to life. Rabbim, but not all. So the prophet didn't know to tell which bond deserved to rise or not. So he said, you're the only one who know who deserves to come back to life. Same thing today. When two people sit and learn Gemara in any yeshiva in the world, do you think they get the same reward from Hashem? Same reward? They learn the same Gemara for 2 hours now. Exact same Gemara. How can it be a different reward? The answer depends who you are. What city you came from? Who are your parents? What kind of job you gave up to sit and learn? What's the pressure in your family against it or for it? How old are you? How bright you are? How wealthy you are? How difficult it is for you? How interesting you find it or not? Hashem, when he gives a schar, he takes millions of things to consideration. Your physical health, everything Hashem knows how to measure it. But there is one more thing. Who you are, it's not up to you where you're born. What kind of brain Hashem gave you, it's not up to you. Who are your parents, it's not up to you. If they love Torah or hate it, it's not up to you. Well, how much money you're going to make, 99%, it's not up to you. So what's up to you? Only one thing, the effort. The effort. Two people sit and learn. One learns for 1 hour, understand everything, and he feels he's in heaven. When you see, when you understand the sugya in the Gemara, it's really heaven. Wow, everything falls into place. Unbelievable how deep it gets. And your friend tried 10 times and he doesn't catch nothing, nothing. Who gets a bigger schar from Hashem for the effort? Someone who's frustrated every day gets a much bigger schar. We're lucky that Hashem is not one of us in his mind. He has a whole different thinking. Let me explain. You take your car to a mechanic. There is a problem with the electric. Please fix it. He's sitting there 1 week, he cannot find the problem. 1 week, he stuck you without a car. You need to pay for cabs. Call me next week. Call me next hour. Call me tomorrow. Call me tomorrow afternoon. 1 week, he's holding the car. After a week, come get your car. I'm sorry, I cannot find the problem. You come to pick up the car, you're furious. What kind of a mechanic is this? And then the mechanic hands you a bill, 3,000 shekel. Say to him, are you normal? Instead of saying thank you that I'm not suing you, you want me to pay you for wasting so much of my time and my money? It's my fault that you don't know how to fix a problem? So he say to you, why, I don't have a wife and children. I don't work very hard for it. Do you know how many hours I worked on your car? Every day, at least 7-8 hours, I was laying under it, opening, closing, trying, doing tests. For 1 week, I worked like a dog. I don't deserve to get paid for my job. So you say to him, I'm very sorry for you. If you don't know how to be a mechanic, go find a different job, deliver grocery. What do you want from me? So I have to pay you for your failure? And you take the key and you leave. But imagine if Hashem would be like this. You did not understand, you fail, I'm sorry. Minus. That's it, C. You're not getting an A, I'm sorry. When you finally understand the page, then I'll give you a schar for one page. Baruch Hashem, it's not like that. You tried, you understand nothing, you get a full schar for the effort. Try again, you get full schar. Again, again, again. In the end of your life, you know one page, but you try all your life, you get schar. You don't get schar based on achievement. You get the main schar based on the amal and the effort. How much you want, how much you care to learn. That's the main thing. Because Hashem already made you a genius or not. For that, it's come easy or not. That's up to Him. What's up to you is how much you're going to kill yourself. Rav Ovadia Yosef, when he was your age, newly wed, it was him and his wife, no children yet. is the Chevruta Rav Shitrit now wrote a book about all the years they learned together for 20 something years, a few hours every day. It's written over there that when he was 22, 23, he lived in a very tiny room. There was a bed, table, two chairs, two plates, two glasses, and two forks. That's it. Nothing else in the house besides books. So when you open the door, you hit the bed already. There's two chairs, no three, two. Very old, wood, shaky. And one time Rav Ezra Atiyah, Rosh Yeshivat Porat Yosef, the big Chacham, he came to visit him, and there was no chair to let him sit. He was sitting eating with his wife. There's no glass to give him, no plate to give him, nothing, because the plates were dirty. And he saw how they live. He said to him, I think it's time for you to go to Egypt to be the chief rabbi of Egypt. He was young Avrech, but such a Chacham. So he said, maybe you should go to Cairo, they give you a salary there, you live normally. You cannot live like that. Then he wrote in his book that those years he was learning until 3 o'clock at night in Yerushalayim. There was no electric. It was freezing night here, 0 degrees, below zero, freezing, snowing. His legs were frozen, mamash like blue already, changed their colors. He had a little lamp. There's no electric. It's freezing like this, and it wasn't sealed. It's not America, you know, everything is sealed perfectly. Freezing were coming to the room. His wife was shaking in a bed, and he was learning like this with the lamp until 3 o'clock, until when he was trying to get on his leg. The legs were so frozen, he couldn't stand. This is love for the Torah. We get to this level one time in our life, one day, Baruch Hashem, we made a huge progress. You understand? What's the obligation to learn Torah? I know that some of you are just, you know, beginners, you just came, you started, some of you are here longer. This is the way the yeshivot for Baalei Tshuva is. People come, people go. But at least we should know what's the requirements. When you learn Torah, each Torah has a different level. You know, Gemara with Tosfot, it's harder. You know, there's different levels. Chumash, Halacha. The harder it is, the more schar you have. Sometimes people run to easy things. They say, Rabbi, what do you care? I learn Torah. I'm here, I'm sitting in a holy place, I'm learning Torah. That's good. Ma marsha is that? It's not for me to break my head for 2 hours on a Tosfot. Let me learn things that I understand, I enjoy. How do you know there is a whole different league to this level and to that level? How do you know? Maybe we made it up. Who said you have to break your head when you learn? The Gemara says, "Mevatlim Talmud Torah avur kriyat Megillah." You're allowed to close the Gemara. Chachamim in Halacha, they give you permission to close the Gemara to go read Megillat Esther. The question in the Gemara is, big deal, what's the chidush? You finish with one Torah and you start right away with another Torah. Megillat Esther is in a Tanakh, ma. It's also Torah. From here you learn that even there is bitul Torah be'echut. Bitul Torah is not only when you close and you don't learn and you play basketball now because you're not in the mood to learn. Bitul Torah, it can be in echut. You learn Gemara in a high level, oh, it's too much for me. You close and you read few halachot from Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. That's gam can bitul Torah in a level. Sometimes people say, Rabbi, today I'm not in a mood to learn. I want to rest. Leave me alone. I'm not in a mood. The answer is, who say that you have to learn Torah only when you're in a mood? You only eat when you're in a mood? If you're not in a mood, you still have to eat. You don't eat for a week because you're in a bad mood. You're going to die. So what? The neshama doesn't need food? There is a mashal about the male chicken and the female chicken. Did you hear it or no? There is a nice parable, mashal. What's the difference between a male chicken and a female? What's the difference? It's similar a little bit to a male and female as human, right? Who talks more? The woman, 15 minute speech, the husband, okay. Okay, fine. Three words, 3,000 words. Stop. The male chicken and the female chicken, the male chicken is the soul and the female chicken is the body. What does it mean? If a person doesn't give food to his body, what happened around 1 p.m.? He didn't eat all day. Begin to have a little headache, especially if he is a coffee drinker. Caffeine, this, that. By 3, he's already dizzy. 4, wow, Yom Kippur, you see how everyone? Chatan olefanecha. No kvar. By the way, Yom Kippur is something very interesting. All day you're thinking about, no, when will I finally eat? And then when the fast is over, everyone's standing and talking in the parking lot, no one is in a rush. Why? Once it became permitted, no more Yetzirah. As long as it's not permitted, there is Yetzirah. You understand? They ask, before we finish the mashal on the chicken, they ask David Ben-Gurion, you know who he was? Huh? According to Beit Sefer Nordo in Tel Aviv, he wrote Tehillim. Let me explain to you. There was one Avrech, beard, black hat. He came to give a speech in Erev Shavuot in Beit Sefer Nordo in Tel Aviv. So they said, what do you need to teach? What we also teach Torah here. Say, public school. He said, no, I'm only going to tell them a little bit, maybe 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. I want to explain a little bit about Shavuot, why we eat dairy, what's the special about the holiday. Don't worry, I promise you, you won't regret it. No, I know, you want to make them balei tshuva. You guys, you know, I know what you want. No, believe me, I'm not going to talk anything about tshuva, nothing, just about Shavuot. Would you agree to sign? She want to protect her job. So he say, yeah, I'll sign. So he signed on the paper, and then she's protected, be careful, okay, all right. So he comes, he said, after 9.5 minutes that he explained about Shavuos, then he said, okay, I have 30 seconds left, so let me ask you a question. 400 kids in Tel Aviv in high school, 12th grade. Children, who wrote the book of Tehillim, Psalms? Who wrote it? Silent. So let me give you a hint. David! Everyone screamed, Ben Gurion! So the more she's going like this, ay. So you have to agree with me that I have to come here every Friday to speak for a few minutes. That's how he got in. And when she was embarrassed, he snuck in. It's the only black hat that speaks in a public school, perhaps in the entire country. So anyway, when you don't feed the body begins to give you problems. No food, no cooperation. But if you don't feed your soul, nothing. Business as usual. If you don't feel the female chicken, everything in your house is on the floor. Pictures, shelves. No food, terror. The male chicken. Falling and dying. A minute before he dies, he still don't scream, help, I'm hungry. That's the neshama of a Jew. 7 years you can starve it until it dies completely. This is the word of the prophet Yechezkel. Chai Hashem, I swear on my name, it's the highest level of promise. Ki lo achpotz bemot hamet. I'm not interested to kill the dead. How can you kill the dead? He's dead already. Ma kiim b'shuvo midarko ha'av achai. I want him to return back from his evil, wicked way that he should live. So from here, we're supposed to get shocked that according to the opinion of Hashem, the creator of the world, the great, unbelievable, superpower, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you have everything but you disconnected from him, you consider dead. And how you connect to Hashem? How? What's the best connection? The best is Torah. And that's what he's saying, Tazven yom yomayim ezveka. You leave me for one day, you'll feel my absence in your life right away for 2 days. Sometimes we say, all the punishments of Hashem are mida keneged mida, measure for measure. But in reality, it's sometimes double, sometimes 7 times more. Like in Parashat Bechukotai, Af ani elech imachem sheva al chatotechem. Or a ganav that stole 100, he has to pay 200. You take it by force from him. 200, double, not mida keneged mida. You understand? Or one more thing. In this situation, if you leave me one day, you will feel my absence in your life for 2 days. Why? You should feel it for 1 day. Double. So sometimes it's more than mida keneged mida. We still use the word mida keneged mida. Now I want to tell you something incredible. There is a Mishnah in Masechet Tzmachot, Perek Chet. En mevatlim Talmud Torah. Now you have to make a decision if the students are allowed to stop learning Torah. Ad shetetze nishmato shel hamet. A person now is in a hospital. God forbid, one of the people from the yeshiva is in a hospital. It's fighting between life and death. Shaya Rabbi Shimon bno shel Rabbi Akiva chole. When the son of Rabbi Akiva was sick, לא ביטל את בית מדרשו, רבי עקיבא came as usual to teach Torah, אלא פקדו ביד שלוחו. He took a messenger, maybe the janitor over there, go and check what's going on with my son in a hospital, whatever. בא ראשון ואמר לו נטען. The first messenger came and say, sick, serious sickness. He said to the student, go on, ask your questions. Then the second one came and say, Ichbid, it got much worse. Continue the class. Then the third one came. He said, continue. Then he said to him, Rabbi, it's Gosses. Gosses meaning an hour or two to leave, that's it. He said, Talmidim, continue, don't stop. The fourth one came and said, Ishlim. His neshama came out, that's it. עמד וחלץ את תפיליו, he took out his tefillin. From here you see that we're learning all day with tefillin, like some places here in Yerushalayim. וחלץ את התפילין, קרא בגדה ואמר, he ripped his clothes, he made קריאה on his son, אחינו בני ישראל, until now we were obligated in Talmud Torah. From now we must pay respect to the dead. We have to do a funeral. What do we see from here? Until the second the person passed, the obligation was the same exact obligation. No, are we in this level bichlal to even imagine such thing? A person, his son, is fighting for life and death and he's learning as usual. Can focus? How can a person focus when he knows he's never going to see his son? Go say goodbye. Ma, in 1 hour he's gone. Ma, you don't want to say something to him? Son, I love you. Please. You know, I'm going to pray for you, relax, you're going to Olam HaEmet, your father will do everything he can for you. Maze, sitting in the yeshiva. This is the ultimate. We're not going to get to this level. Don't get scared. But at least we should know to what level a Jew can get. That's enough. Hashem knows he's not going to hold us guilty if we're not going to sit b'chas v'shalom by the hospital next to someone who's dying. I promise you, no punishment, nothing, no complaint. But at least we know to what level a Jew can reach, that his mind is above everything, feelings, what's in it for me, nothing. The Torah, it's a level that a person can reach that changed his entire life completely. The Chazon Ish said, this is the words of the Chazon Ish, Im yizkeh adam, if a person will have the zchut, the merit, להרגיש את הרע והנמאס בהיעדר ידיעת התורה. If a Jew will get to this level, that he will sit home and he will feel horrible about not knowing Torah. I'm in Am Haaretz, I'm an ignorant, I don't know anything.
Nothing. What do I know? Nothing. I don't know anything.
ואני מאס בהיעדר ידיעת התורה, that he will feel so frustrated and upset that he does not know Torah, עד שימאס לבבו בבכי, until his heart will melt from crying. A person is crying with such pain in his heart that he feels that his heart is melting. לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, in front of Hashem, הנה ידע האדם, כי כבר זכר בה. You should know, if you get one day in your life, that you sit home alone or in your room upstairs or whatever, you close the room and you think, I'm 25, I'm 30, I'm 40, whatever I am. And what did I achieve in my life? I wasted so much time on nonsense. I still waste so much time on nonsense. And technically, if I die today and I stand in front of Hashem, they ask me one sugiya, I don't know how to explain it. From A to Z. And you begin to cry. I wish I can go back to be a baby and to start, restart my whole life. And you cry, and you cry, and you feel your heart, you're about to get a heart attack. It may happen once in a lifetime in our generation. Don't kid yourself. But if it will happen to us one time, remember my words, it's the words of the Chazon Ish. If we get to that level that we begin to cry about the absence of knowledge of Torah, that we don't even have the minimal level required, and you cry so much, the Chazon Ish say, you already achieved a lot. V'ashrei chelko, how lucky you are. V'kvar muftachu, שתפילתו נשמעת. It's guaranteed that Hashem will hear your prayers right after this moment of crying. Now you're going to take advantage on a situation and ask Hashem, please open up my head. Open up my head and make me able to be a learner, to learn, to give my life for the Torah. One final thing before we finished. If a person analyzes life, what are the reasons that he has obstacles between him and Hashem? Why sometimes you don't see the light of the Shekhinah? You feel that something is between me and Hashem. Let's break it finally already. Let's get rid of these obstacles. Usually the obstacles come from desires. Desires. What kind of desire? Material desire. Lots of things. Sometimes it's enough that a person sits in yeshiva and think, what's going to be with me? I'm 22, I'm 23, I'm 24, I'm 25, whatever I am. One day I have to get married. I don't have money. I don't have a degree. I'm sitting here learning Gemara. What is it going to give me in my life? So fine, so when I'll be 30 years old, I know Baruch Hashem few Gemarot. And I'll know Baruch Hashem how to speak and to give us a shiur or two in Gemara. But where will I end? That's the way people think. And you know, you should know, this kind of thinking is 1,000% the Satan is standing inside of your head and talking inside your ears. Because a person that has emunah in Hashem has no permission ever to think like that. One person came to me in yeshiva and said, listen, I think I'm going to quit yeshiva. I'm going to find a job. I have to prepare. I said, to prepare for what? He said, listen, if I get married now, if they offer me a shidduch, I don't even have money to buy the ring. Not to talk about a car, not to talk about to rent an apartment or to pay for the wedding. My parents are not exactly going to pay for it. So I might as well go and find a job that when I get the wife, I will be prepared for her, right? Some of you think about it, no? So I said to him, I don't get it. What makes you so sure that you're going to find a wife? He looked at me, what? What do you mean? I trust Hashem to find me a wife. Shiduch, no, Hashem is avek zivugim. Say, yeah, of course. But what makes you think he's going to find you a wife? Ma, I'm counting on Hashem. Ma, it's emunah, ma. What can I do? It's emunah, I have emunah. He got nervous. I said to him, okay, let's say you're going to have a wife. What makes you so sure you're going to have kids? Rabbi, don't open your mouth, ma. Scaring me.
I say, listen, I'm asking reasonable questions. 15% of the Jewish couples in the world are barren. That's the statistic. What makes you think you're not of this 15%? Oh, come on. Well, we believe there. אנחנו מאמינים בני מאמינים. No, there's a song. The person that wrote that song, I met him a few days ago. He's a very famous musician here of all the famous singers in Israel. He sat with me. He said to me, one year, I didn't hear any music in my car. Only OCDs became Baal Tshuva. And he said to me, at least Hashem gave me the zchut to make this song, Anachnu Ma'amini Bnei Ma'amini, that I finally did something in my bad days. Something that a lot of religious people sing. Anyway, so now, what happened now? So I told him, what makes you think I have kids? I believe in Hashem. So I said to him, listen, to your ears should listen to your foolish mouth. You believe in Hashem that they will find you a woman in such a corrupted world where so many girls are completely off the derech and there's no tznius and no irat shamayim and barely nothing. But you know that Hashem will find you the right girl to your level because this is what we live for, to trust Hashem. Even though kashe zivugo shel ha'adam ki kriyat yam suf. And then to have children from one drop, here you go, one drop. And a human being will come out of it, little cute baby will come out of it. And you have no problem, you believe 100% that you will have a baby and it will be healthy and everything will be fine. And now all of a sudden, you're worried that Hashem maybe, his bank account is in a negative balance maybe. Maybe the check would bounce. The easiest thing to find your job, to connect you between you and someone to make some money, or to meet a girl that her husband will give some money, this you're not sure, which is the easiest out of the three. You know what? When you explain it, make it so simple. The Torah and the Emunah, it's more simple than what people makes it. Just have Emunah Tmima. And I want to finish with one sentence. If you remember that from this drasha, it's worth it. What is it? Write it on a wall, with permission. Write it on a wall. I don't want to get into trouble here. But put a note or a sticker on a wall, and this is what you write. Hebrew, English, whatever you want. A person never ever lost or would lose for doing את רצון השם. Not money, not time, not שידוך, not health, nothing. It's not possible. Not possible that Hashem say, I want you to sit and learn Torah, and because of that you're going to lose money. And because of that you're going to lose, חס ושלום, other things. Or you're going to lose your שידוך. Impossible. If a person think that Hashem will give שידוך and money to the Maharaji in India, who bow down to a stupid idol every day, or to the cow, and gives him fortune and nice palace and all that, and he feeds the bugs and the elephants and the mouse and all of that, and me, the Jew that left New York or LA, and I came here to the holiest place in the world, and I sit here and I give my life for the Torah, and that's the Torah, say that's Limud Torah Keneged Kulam, is the greatest thing in the whole world, in all the generation. And Hashem will say, thank you, my son. Pah! Get lost. You're gonna die lonely, you're gonna die poor, I'm gonna give you what you deserve. This is what you think of Hashem? You really think that Hashem will do this? So why the money doesn't come right away? Patience, later it will come a lot better. Everything, it's a long-run investment. Don't be penny-wise, dollar-foolish. Investing penny, dollar to make a penny. Have patience. Everything comes, so everyone here who has v'shalom thinks to go back, think again. We are the only nation that has 100% certainty that we do the right thing in life. We got a book in a public event in front of millions of people. When Moshe gave the Torah to the Jewish nation, they opened the book and they read about all the miracles that happened to them in the last year. Each one of the 100 miracles was 100% against all odds. But when he gave it to them, they had to actually confirm it by receiving it. When I receive a book, what happened to me in the last year, and I read inside, what does it say? You saw blood all over Egypt. Confirm. You saw frogs. Confirm. You saw firstborns are dying. Confirm. The oceans opened up. Confirm. Bread is falling. Confirm. 100 confirmations. Can you sell a story to a nation telling them all kinds of bobomises that happened to them when you know none of that ever happened? Can you come to millions of people and say, ladies and gentlemen, as you all just heard me speaking to God, how much He loved me and He made me the leader of the world, right? You all heard the voice of God. What would you all say? Just get out of here, call an ambulance, put him in a barbanel. Hurry up. This crazy guy wasting our time. How Moshe come to millions and say, all of you heard me speaking to God. It's written right here. Everybody heard. It's not Mary that said, don't worry, this, you know, son will be somebody special. Who saw the dream? Nothing. Muhammad came from the desert, I got the Quran. Who saw? No one. Buddha saw the light. Who saw it? No one. 80,000 religions and cults, story of one person, not one witness to the event. And here comes the first one, the solid one, in front of millions of people. And inside it say, if you sit and learn Torah all your life, you can never ever lose, ever. You'll enjoy in this world, and your next world is a whole different league. There's a whole different league. I want to mamash finish with one sentence. I want you all to think before I leave here about one thing. You can be from Jews. You can go back to New York. You can finish your education. You can get a job. You'll be accountants, lawyers. You can have normal from lifestyle. And what we call balebatim. Balebait, you learn a little bit in the morning, in the night. Everything is fine. You keep mitzvot. You come 3 times to shul. What you're going to do in 1 year... 1 year as a regular frum balabait, you're going to do here in 1 week. That's really the ratio. 1 year in New York, in business, keeping mitzvot, learning a little bit here and there, it's 1 week here. So every week you survive in yeshiva and you learn, consider it 1 year of frum lifestyle. No exaggeration. Chafetz Chaim did the calculation. 10 hours of learning Torah, it's 600,000 mitzvot per day. Every letter, one mitzvah. 200 words per minute. Each Hebrew letter, each Hebrew word, average word is five letters. That makes it 5 letters multiplied by 200. 1,000 mitzvot per minute. 60,000 per hour. 600,000 mitzvot per day. Now you show me a frum regular guy that doesn't learn Torah, how many mitzvot he does in a year. He doesn't get to 600,000. Add everything together. Birkat Amazon, one. Talit, one. Tfilin, two. What? Count. 20, 30 a day. That's it. Multiply by 365 days. Add some Torah here and there that he learned. Maybe he'll make it to 600,000 in a year. Maybe in a day here you can do what you do in New York or LA for 1 year. Strictly business. In America, they say time it's money. I say money it's time. Running after money, it's burning the time. Burning the time, it's burning the life. Burning the life, meaning chas v'shalom, losing life of eternity. And over there, me'uvat lo yuchal litkon. By then, it's going to be already too late to fix. Yiratzon bezrat Hashem. That all the students and the rabbis and the staff of this holy yeshiva Yesha Torah and the zchut of Rabbi Noach Weinberg that started this movement all over the world, which I had an opportunity to speak in different age in Canada and some other places in the world, Bezrat Hashem will make many, many thousands of Baalei Tshuva. Time is running out. We have to save as many neshamot we can. And will give the foundation to many Talmidim to be a lifetime learners, Bezrat Hashem. Will always have what they need and parnasa of the place and melamdim and chas v'shalom. There will not be any more asonot, no agony in this place. Yiratzon v'nomar amen.